This is the 9 to noon show on Highland Radio. Donal Kavanagh with you on the show until 12 noon. 086 60 25000 for your text or WhatsApp messages. 074 91 25000 if you want to call us. Caroline producing and taking your calls, and Niamh taking your calls this morning as well. It's at Highland Radio on Twitter. It's Highland Hub on Facebook, on the other social media platforms as well. Comments at Highland Radio if you prefer to use email. Now, let's look at our competition, because Heritage Week is coming up from this coming Saturday, and we have a competition that will allow you win one of two special vouchers worth in the region of €90. And those vouchers will give you access to several heritage sites right across the country. Heritage Week happening in Donegal and across Ireland from the 12th to the 20th of August. You can create your own personalised schedule of events by going to heritageweek.ie and clicking on My Heritage Trail. That will allow you to celebrate the traditions, skills and practices that have passed down through generations. Now, I'm going to give you three clues, and I want you to figure out where in Donegal I am talking about. It's a building, and I want you to tell me where and what that building is. Clue number one, I'm located on the Diamond in Donegal's capital. I'm located on the Diamond in Donegal's capital. Clue number two, I used to incarcerate people. Clue number two, I used to incarcerate people. And clue number three, I am now a visitor centre, but I've kept my old name. I am now a visitor centre, but I have kept my old name. Those three clues point to a building in Donegal. Please tell me what that building is. We'll repeat the clues a little bit later on. Now, Donegal County Council removed bottle banks from Letchamacca Ward that were badly needed. They were replaced by a seat on the concrete base that was put there for the bottle banks. No one ever uses the seat. We want our bottle banks back. They are missed. Cora says, good morning. I was up in Mauvale doing the lovely coastal walk to Greencastle and couldn't help noticing the bins were overflowing, so it may not be a bad idea to empty them more often. And thanks to Martin for that comment. Cora says, Donal, I walk down from work in Letterkenny a lot of mornings and I often meet you out walking. And yes, I would walk quite a bit now. I didn't the past couple of weeks walk as much because I had a little bit of a hamstring issue. But yeah, I would be out walking a fair bit. Sometimes I might be looking for a bin to put something in, but there is not one bin between the Optum roundabout and the main street. There may be one at Max Mace, but other than that, there is nothing. You meet so many people now with cups in their hands. All these cups have to be dumped somewhere. I actually agree with that, because there is a shortage of just public bins in places. And I think some bins were taken away during COVID and were never replaced, if I'm correct in saying that. For instance, I would often chew gum while walking in the mornings. And one of my habits was I would dispose of my gum halfway through the walk. And one of my walks would take me sort of down through town and up out the Neil T. Blaney Road, and then I would walk sort of past the Mandarigal heading for Ballyrain, and there used to be a bin there on the corner just by the Polestar roundabout, and that bin was taken away. So the choice was either go in and actually walk into the hotel itself and put the chewing gum into one of the sort of the large ashtray stroke bins outside the hotel, or what I started doing was just keeping a piece of kitchen towel in my pocket and just wrapping the used gum in the kitchen towel and then sort of putting it in the bin when I got home. But yeah, certainly there is a shortage of bins around Letterkenny. Absolutely, I would agree with that. And speaking of walking, actually, just most people with fitness trackers are aiming to do 10,000 steps a day, but it's been claimed just 4,000 could be enough to cut the risk of dying early. A study says walking that number of steps daily can cut the risk of death from any cause. It also found the chance of dying from cardiovascular disease decreases significantly with every 500 to 1,000 extra steps. And indeed, yeah, I am one of these people that does actually wear a stepometer, and I'm just looking at my steps for today. And yeah, I do have considerably more than 4,000 so far. So yeah, happy days. Oxford University scientists now are saying there is no evidence to suggest that using Facebook is bad for our well-being, despite claims the social media giant is linked to psychological harm. In the largest study of its kind, researchers say they found the opposite. It's after they analysed data from nearly a million people across 72 countries over 12 years from 2008. Now, I've said this before, my take on Facebook is very, very simple. I treat Facebook like the pub on a Saturday night. It's where I meet people and I talk rubbish about music and I have a bit of crack. Anything I read on Facebook, I take as seriously as I would take in general conversation in a pub on a Saturday night, in which some people may have a bit of drink taken. So anything I read on Facebook, I take with the same level of seriousness and the same level of veracity that I would take what I hear in a pub on a Saturday night. Conversely, I will say nothing on Facebook that I would not say in general company, in a pub, on a Saturday night. And that's kind of the way I sort of treat Facebook. It's great crack. Crack is what it is. It is not a it's not a substitute for life. Caller, we were speaking yesterday to Noel Cunningham about the Donegal Camino, and a caller got in touch afterwards to ask if the walks are wheelchair friendly. Now, the response we got back from Donegal Camino are, yeah, parts of the route are wheelchair friendly. Some parts may be difficult, and you can contact the organiser to see which part of the route suits you. Remember, if you want to do the Donegal Camino, you can do part of the route. You don't have to do every step of it, and it may well be that a lot of it will be suitable. Parts of it may not be, and it's absolutely fine to cherry-pick the parts that you can handle. But certainly, donegalcamino.ie is the webpage, and I've no doubt the organisers of the Camino would be more than happy to speak to you. The 9 till noon show on Highland Radio, 18 and a half minutes past 10 o'clock. Now, I am going to let you into a little trade secret. When you work in a newsroom in the months of July and August, it can be difficult. You don't necessarily have council meetings, you don't have the Dáil sitting, you don't have courts, there's a lot of organisations are scaling back, people are on holiday, you're not getting as much news coming from there. So getting news and filling news bulletins can be a little bit difficult at times in August. However, in Donegal we have a secret weapon every August, because in Donegal, in Lenties, we have the McGill Summer School. And the McGill Summer School always ensures that at least for that week and for the week before and the week after, you're going to have a good supply of news and a good supply of comments and expert speakers to report on. And for that blessing, we have to thank Dr. Joe Mulholland. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, Donald. How are you?
Very well indeed. And I am sure, Joe, as someone who's worked in news for decades yourself in your previous life, as it were, you'll know all too well the difficulty sometimes in finding news in August.
I'm afraid I go back a long way.
Indeed.
More than you do, probably.
A little bit more, but not as much as I would like to think, I think is the correct answer to that one somehow, Joe.
Anyway, look, yeah, we'd better pass on that subject.
Absolutely. The McGill Summer School, Joe, it's become an absolute integral part of the summer in Donegal. The idea of a summer in Donegal without the McGill Summer School is pretty much at this stage unthinkable.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that that is so, and I think it is so. But it has become the same for quite a lot of people throughout Ireland. It's amazing the people down as far as Cork and obviously Dublin and so on. It's amazing how they don't want to miss the McGill. This always amazes me. I suppose it's the combination of going to Donegal, seeing its beauty, and then having something else to occupy the mind as well. So it's kind of serving the mind and body, I suppose.
One of the things you've managed to do with the McGill Summer School over the years is created a bond between the school and Donegal to the extent that you can't have the one without the other as such, because there are many summer schools which are effectively international symposiums, international and national discussions. Where they take place geographically is neither here nor there, and they're just discussions that happen to be taking place somewhere. Whereas with McGill, Glenties and Donegal are an integral part of the McGill Summer School. And, you know, you couldn't think about taking McGill and saying, look, this year we're going to hold McGill in Castlebar instead of Glenties. That just would be unthinkable.
Yeah, no, I mean, the question has arisen from time to time because, I mean, Glentis is a small place. You do have some problems of accommodation and so on. And the question has arisen, should we change, not outside of Donegal, but somewhere else in Donegal? But that, I've always resisted that. And because McGill is associated with Patrick McGill, we sometimes forget. And he's the author who, you know, lived down the road from Glentis and wrote those wonderful books such as Children of the Dead End and The Rat Pit and so on. So we've always resisted that. But this year in particular, of course, we face particular difficulties of accommodation above all because of I suppose our friends from Ukraine having to, you know, move in and fair dues to them, and they're very welcome, but it has created a little bit of extra effort, but we're managing. There's plenty of people who have you know, bed and breakfast. They don't do it all the time, but they might do it for McGill, that kind of thing.
As ever, a panel of speakers that is formidable. I see Mairead McGuinness, Brendan Boyle, the US Congressman, Pat Cox. We have the Deputy Prime Minister of the Government of Ukraine. We have the Ukrainian Ambassador, the Polish Ambassador. We've a retired senior colonel from China, which should be fascinating. Tony Cullen,
yes,
Tommy
Gorman
as well.
Yes, a very interesting guy indeed, though. He's obviously a true blue, if that exists for China, a true blue Chinese man. He fought in the war earlier on in his career. He's very well got with the authorities in China, but he does these lectures, and he has lectured in other parts of the world, and this year he will lecture in Glentis. And will, in fact, have to tell us or explain why China has not rolled in with other powers to say that Putin is wrong and is committing murder and atrocities and so on. So that will be an interesting discussion, particularly as it has as well in the same session, a former ambassador to China, former Irish ambassador Declan Kelleher, who is well known for the fantastic work he has done on behalf of the state.
Congressman Brendan F. Boyle is a name we've heard a lot of, and he's coming over to take... Is he coming over or is he on Zoom?
He tells me now that his wife has to go into hospital for some kind of treatment. Not serious, I don't think, but she has to go in. So he was unable to come, and I suggested online.
Yeah.
We've had him online before, in fact. So it has to be online, I'm afraid. But he will be in dialogue with the hall in the Highlands Hotel in Glentis, because the chair of that session is again a former Irish diplomat, David Donoghue, who was in more recent times ambassador to the UN. He will be in conversation and question the speaker, if you like.
And Brendan Boyle is an interesting one, because traditionally one would associate Irish-American politicians with the Democratic Party and with the Kennedys and aligning themselves in a particular way. Brendan Boyle doesn't fit that mould, as it were, and as such, that's been exciting, a lot of comment, particularly in the past few months.
Yes, absolutely. But Brendan Boyle has become quite an eminent in a short space of time in politics. He, of course, the interesting thing here is we get sponsorship now from Notre Dame University, one of the great universities in the States. And Brendan Boyle and his brother, indeed, who is also in the legislature in the States, are students there. They got scholarships. And of course, the story of Brendan is quite extraordinary. That, you know, it was Francie Boyle, his father, emigrated from Glencolumbkill in, I think, 61. I'm not too sure. And worked his way, labouring mainly in the States. But obviously, he and his wife made sure that these two boys got an education, and they have reached great heights and maybe will reach even greater heights.
The theme this year, very much as one would expect with the sponsorship from Notre Dame and the involvement of so many international people, the theme, a very international one.
Yeah, well, it's been my ambition for some time to try and get a kind of a steady relationship like that would mean let us afford to do more things, like fly somebody from Beijing. I mean, it would have been unthinkable 20 years ago or 10 years ago or less. This is a very, and of course it's such a reputable university, known of course for its Irishness, and their team is called the Fighting Irish.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is there will be a group of Notre Dame students at the school, and I'm told they are going to play a game of football with the lads in Glentis. So this is an important link that we're forging here, and at the same time, of course, you know, doing what is right by the McGill School.
And presumably, given the nickname of the Notre Dame sporting teams, no quarter shall be asked or given.
Indeed, yes, absolutely.
Also, we will also be looking at events on our own island and the ongoing implications of tensions in Stormont and elsewhere. Claire Hanna, MP for the SDLP, one of those taking part. So with all the international involvement and all the international input, you're still going to be looking to our neighbours across the border and the situation there, and presumably Brexit will still be rearing its head as well.
Well, we can't forget across the border, I'm afraid. And Miguel has always dealt with it and has had politicians from both sides consistently. And indeed, those politicians sometimes met up in Glentis on the QT. It's not generally known. But you know, things went on there that people didn't know about, and this was sort of during the peace process and so on. So we have four eminent people there, including our own man Charlie from Fianna Fáil. And it should be a good discussion, because it is chaired by Tommy Gorman, who worked incredibly hard, as I know, in the north for years after having come from working in Brussels.
And that comment you made there about meetings taking place, as it were, perhaps behind closed doors at McGill, is an important one, because McGill has been doing more over the years than just reflecting the discussion. McGill has been generating, creating and prompting the discussion as well. I mean, McGill has been at the centre of some very important discussions on this island over the past number of years.
That's true, though. I mean, why wouldn't we? We're a border county. It was an opportunity to get people together, because at the end of the day, that's the only thing you can do. You can preach all you like, but you have to persuade, and you have to persuade people that it's in our mutual interests to cooperate. And it's the only way that any progress will be made, even now that the people set aside cliches and habits of old and do something new. So, I mean, we're happy. I wouldn't exaggerate the role we played, but at least we played a role. And unionist politicians came to Glentis and have come without any problem at all and stayed and had a drink in the bar and so on. You know, so these small little things add up and are important, I think.
A new global order, precarious and dangerous, is the theme of the school this year. There's a question mark after that last two words. In terms of participation, it's an open forum, limited in terms of seat numbers, Joe, but how can, if people wish to attend, if people want to go to sessions, how can they do so?
Well, first of all, Donald, it's extremely cheap. It's, I think, 75. I don't concern myself now with this. I have an assistant who does a lot of it, but 75 for the whole thing. You can go to one session if you like, something in particular that may turn you on or interest you, for 10 euros. You can go for a day for 20 or 25 euros. You know, so it's extremely cheap and good value. And when I tell people this on the phone, sometimes they call me. They can't believe it. So, you know, from that point of view, it's made accessible. It's, and that anybody can come in, even at the last minute, even if they haven't booked.
The McGill Summer School takes place August.
It's certainly not a closed shop.
Absolutely.
And the same applies for people who make comments after the lectures, who ask questions, etc., etc. That is known that McGill has a record, second to none, in allowing free speech, following lectures and so on.
This day week, it gets underway August 16th to August 19th in the Highlands Hotel.
Yes, we've shortened the week for the moment. We used to run from the Sunday to the Friday. But, you know, things are more difficult now, and people sometimes haven't the time. So we thought we would compress it down. And people who come to McGill sometimes want to spend a few days in Donegal. So it facilitates all of that. We start on Wednesday. Ukraine occupies a lot of our thoughts at this. And I would point out that Pat Cox, former president of the European Parliament, of course, who worked with me in Today Tonight many, many years
Indeed.
Ago. But he he knows Ukraine better than most. And in fact, he was there two or three weeks ago. I was getting an account from him of how it went. And he had to get out of his bed twice during the week of the conference that he was attending and go downstairs to the shelter. So you can imagine how people are living there.
Yeah, and that's very much the reality
on tenterhooks,
yeah.
Because they seem to bomb whatever they want to bomb, even a blood transfusion plant, for God's sake.
Yeah. Joe, in terms of those who maybe would like to participate but can't get to Glenties themselves, there has traditionally been, in recent years, an online facility via the website or via Donegal County Council's website. Is that there as well?
Available. Yes, courtesy of Dara McDonough of Donegal County Council, an excellent fellow, terrific, an artist himself indeed. But that's still available as well. Yeah. And of course, the archives exist now in the Donegal archives, and so you can go back 10 years and look at somebody like the late Brian Lennon, God be good to him, or somebody like that. So it's a fantastic facility.
Yeah. McGillSummerSchool.com is the website. That's MACGillSummerSchool.com is the website. Joe Mulholland, thank you very much indeed for speaking to us this morning.
Donal, I enjoyed it very much. Thank you very much.
This is the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. And if you are watching us on our YouTube or Facebook channels, you will see that I'm joined by some guests in studio. The way the camera is set up, you can see two of them, but I actually have three guests in studio. Oh, hello, Alton, how are you? I want to introduce you to, if you're looking on camera, in the black on the far right as you're looking, this is Clodagh MacIver. And in the middle, we have Ciara Doherty. And then over to my left, your right, we have Alton Pringle. All three of you are very, very welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Now, you are here because Anguinan Theatre and its partner venues in the NASC Regional Venue Network have teamed up to present a national festival across 8 regional theatres that's taking place in June of next year.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing about this festival is it's going to be curated, selected, organised and run by you lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically what they're saying is, it's a lot of people say, oh, there's too many old fuddy-duddies involved in theatre, and what we need to do is get young people involved. So effectively, Anguinan and the partners in this network, right from here to Tralee, to Galway, to Dunleary, they've come together and they've effectively said, OK, let's say to the young people, off you go, you programme it, you choose what's shown, you get it organised. Clodagh, I'm going to go to yourself first. I mean, it's a challenge, but it's an exciting one.
It is, yeah. It's definitely very interesting. And each of us come from very different backgrounds when it comes to, like, the arts. So it's very interesting to have different perspectives. And it is. I'm really looking forward for the project.
Alton, how much freedom are you being given? I mean, is this a matter of you being given carte blanche and told, do what you want? Or have you been given 3.5 pages of conditions and provisos and...
Yeah. Actually, we haven't been given any rules yet. I don't know if we come up with something really crazy, will we get it talking to, but I don't think so. I think the point is trying to encourage young audiences, and I suppose they think we might have the answer to that. So we'll see from next June.
Have you any ideas already as to what you want to do?
I think we've talked a lot about reaching out to different communities within Donegal and trying to represent them as a part of this festival, trying to really get a sense of what is Donegal. I don't know if we can answer that question, but trying to answer that through this festival I think would be really admirable.
Ciara, from your point of view, as someone who's going to be programming this, are you looking for original stuff? Are you looking for stuff that's out there already? Is the focus on creation? Is the focus on performance?
I think that it's kind of what we're going to discover a little bit is, I'm really excited to tap into a lot of different, like areas that I haven't worked within. So, in terms of, like, theatre and music and arts and all that there, it's just kind of trying to find what people are looking to see or provide a platform for people who don't really have one, I suppose, a little bit.
I mean, and it goes beyond, obviously, you know, people think theatre, you know, you're thinking it can be a play, it can be a musical, it can be a concert,
yeah.
And it's got to have an hour-long first act and a 15-minute interval and an hour-long second act. Yeah. And, you know, and there are, in people's heads, there are rules. Yeah. To what extent, and I'll go back to you on this one, Clodagh, to what extent do you get the feeling, let's rip up the rule book and start again?
Yeah, I definitely think it's an interest between even all the creators that we have met to kind of change the idea of that traditional look of maybe theatre and that kind of traditional look on the arts, mm-hmm. and kind of to like strip it back down and create like kind of make it a bit different to hopefully encourage more people to come to it and get rid of maybe the I'm trying to think of the right word, the nearly...
The conventions?
Yeah, that is put on it already, kind of way, if that makes sense.
It does, because maybe, as I said, you know, people do have these straitjacketed ideas to yeah. a certain yeah. extent. I mean, I'm involved myself in a local musical society, and I play a bit. And again, you know, we have to, and where we're constricted, to be honest, is we're an amateur group who are going to spend in excess of 35,000 euro on putting on a show. Yeah. So we have to have a commercial thought in our heads. We have to think, okay, we have no money. So if we're going to put on a show that costs 35,000 euro, we have to make yeah. 35,000 euro yeah, back. Yeah. So immediately we've got to do something commercial. We've got to do something that sells. Now, to a certain extent, that pressure has been taken off you. You're being told, go out there and create and curate something and make it exciting.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I think that is the thing, Donal. I mean, how do you... Young people aren't as interested in the arts anymore. I blame TikTok. I blame the internet, digitization of culture. So how do we get those people into a theatre, into a box that maybe they haven't gone into before? How do you bring people in the doors and make them interested in something? I don't think it is in those three-act plays. I don't think it is in Samuel Beckett. I love Beckett, I love Brian Friedel, but I think there have to be other ways that we try and engage a younger audience. So those are questions we're trying to answer over the next yeah. year.
Kira, I want to go to you on this one as well, because it's and it's interesting Alton brought up TikTok there, because I had a conversation with, now I have a son and daughter who I suspect are a little older than yourselves. They're, shall we say, far closer to having three at the start of their age than they are closer to having two at the start of their age.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll go no more than that, or I'll be killed when I get home. But I mean, and even they say to me, look, we're now in a generation where we're using TikTok, we're looking at, you know, my daughter said to me recently, I would never dream of watching The Graham Norton Show or watching The Late Late Show. Mm. But I'll go online after and I'll watch the 10-minute clip of the interviews. Yeah. And that's the way she's consuming TV now. She's yeah. watching very little live TV, but she's watching the 10-minute segments, the best of bits that come up on YouTube. Now, is that creating a challenge? Because people are used to getting all their art in 10-minute segments and 5-minute TikTok slots.
Yeah, I feel very seen there because I don't think I've ever watched The Graham Norton Show. I just watch the clips on YouTube.
Well, I do love TikTok, I can't lie. Like, I am guilty, but I definitely see how it's kind of shortening attention spans a lot.
Yeah.
Like, even my mum, like, because they've expanded now to like 10-minute TikToks, my mum shows me a TikTok and it goes on longer than 2 minutes. I'm like, mommy, my
yeah.
crap. But I don't know. I think that it's kind of a weird thing if you're a little bit caught in the middle, because you think that it's kind of ruining...
I do think that I think maybe attention spans are dead, and
yeah.
it's making it more difficult to get bums on seats. But
yeah.
I think it means we have to reframe how we think about what theatre is to get those people in, I think.
And I do. We had discussions about lockdown and things like that, and the absence of live events and things like that. And I've really, really, really struggled with that. So I know I feel a little caught in the middle, where I do love like the traditional
yeah. Yeah.
like live experience, but I am kind of guilty of being the TikTok generation as well.
Yeah, we can't help it. We're young.
From your own point of view, you know, we've been speaking about programming. Obviously, you're all going to have your own individual interests as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the three of you have got to sit down. Is it going to be a matter of, okay, you do what you want to do, I'll do what I want to do, and you do what you want to do? Or is this going to be a collaboration? How do you think this is going to work between the three of you?
I think it has potential to be a complete real collaboration, because obviously, like, Alton would be quite theatre based and Kira would be quite musical based, and then I would be more based into like working with different cultures and diversity type. So I think it's going to be quite like easy to try and put something together to kind of collaborate the whole lot of them. And I think it would be quite a nice thing as well to do. Because I feel like we'd learn a lot off each other as yeah. well from collaborating all into one.
This is a week-long festival. So you'll be presumably then trying to put forward a programme of events for a week that will be centred in Ungrainan Theatre. Is it exclusively Ungrainan, or can you go out to the community to other venues?
There have been no parameters placed on us, really, bar we know it's that week. So, like, we can go out into different communities, we can pull from different communities, we can really... the sky is the limit. Now, money's always a problem, just like in your amateur musical group. So money will be an issue, but we're going to see what we can do with that and do our best with it.
So is it that you're being given a set level of funding from Ungrainan and from the NASC venue network and told, okay, there's your budget, away you go and do it?
Yeah, exactly. So it is like just having a theatre of your own. You're told, here's the money, see what you can do with this pot of money.
But that is good, because it also means, you know, there's going to be a learning experience then for yourselves as well. And I mean, Ciara, you know, as they've said, you're very involved in music, and you know, it's great, and there are times when you can just go out and express yourself musically and do what you want, when you want, where you want to do it. But when you have a budget and a brief, you know, you're going to have to start maybe thinking, well, you know, can we make this back? Can we, you know, it's going to be a challenge. But
it is one of those things, because since graduating, I did get like interested in events, but it was a really scary thing, because like I appreciate what artists' work is worth, and I'm always worried that I'm not going to be able to pay them fairly. So this is a really big deal to me, to be handed a budget and or being like taught how to budget. It's something that I'm really excited to learn, just for life and for my future kind of career, I suppose.
And have all of you, are your qualifications all in the, shall we say, the wider realm of theatre and the arts?
Yeah, I would study event management and public relations.
Yeah.
So I study that in ATU Galway. So that would have given me kind of a bit of a background on like the actual putting together of events and kind of the marketing for them and stuff like that. Now, I'm not specialised in the arts, but it would have given me a bit of a general idea.
So business head, music head, theatre head.
Yeah, exactly. Clover's got her head screwed on. Mine's in the clouds.
So does that mean then that, Clover, part of your job, and this is possibly the way this is going to evolve organically, if you haven't been given briefs or parameters, but part of your job is going to go, oi, Alton, come down from that cloud a bit. Reality comes.
I've already had it. We're only a month in and I had that talk already.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Alton, really, really good news. Thanks to the wonderful work of Kevin, the camera's been adjusted and you are now visible.
Is it my good side? Can you see?
Oh, it is. Hey, both sides all are good. Sides. You know, they're all good sides, Alton. Don't you worry about that.
Perfect.
It's going to be a genuinely interesting festival, because, as you do have a blank sheet and you don't have... Your brief is to present a festival for a week centred in on Ungrainan Theatre in Letterkenny, but obviously you're going to be going out to the wider Donegal and North West community. Mm. Will you get the chance to go elsewhere? Because as yeah, this is happening in Letterkenny. There's going to be a similar event and a similar team in Tralee and Dunleary and Galway, etc., and the other participating. I don't know if Waterford's involved. I would imagine Garter Lane in Waterford is probably involved. Possibly, or
maybe
possibly
I'm searching
not.
My brain.
It would be a theatre. I know it's quite a good one, actually. Would you get the chance then, maybe, to go elsewhere and bring stuff you've created to Galway or to Dunleary or to Tralee or wherever?
Mm-hmm. I think there's a chance the programme that we collaborate, say, with Backstage in Longford or with Pavilion Dunleary to create the work, so we share it between the three venues, say.
Yeah.
So it'd be like coming together, pulling our resources and collaborating on that. I'm not sure about touring the work after it's made next June, but the sky's the limit, I think.
Yeah.
Claude can tell me that's not possible at some further date. But yeah, there is. I mean, it's also that thing, don't like you were saying, about reaching out into the community of like, if there are young artists listening between the ages of 18 and 25 who want to talk to us about their work, please come to us, because we are looking, we're trying to represent. It's kind of the age group we've been told that what the three of us are from. So if you are listening and you want to talk about your work, please approach Ungrainan and approach us and let's chat. Because we need to find those people within the community who are creating the work so that we can then kind of work with them to nurture it and take it further. It would be a really great challenge, I think, with this programme.
The opportunity to, I won't say rip it up and start again, but certainly the opportunity to, you know, disassemble the traditions and perhaps look at the traditions and see what works, what doesn't work. How can we do this in a way that's different? How can we do this in a way that meets the desires of our market, to use that horrible phrase? But in the one hand, you want to meet what you want to meet what your market wants. You want to give the market what it wants. But very often art, someone once described art in a lovely way, they said, art is giving the community what it doesn't know it needs.
Yeah.
And there's an element there as well. It's that element of education. So you're going to sort of, you know, obviously people want a good gig or people want a good comedy experience or a good theatre experience, and you know, and you're going to give them that. But there is that opportunity to perhaps get people who haven't, as you've said, and this is an interesting one, because I would be a regular theatre goer, we'd be regular gig goers, and all of you, by virtue of the fact that you expressed an interest in this,
yeah,
you have an interest in it. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of people of that age that don't. Mm-hmm. I suspect there's a lot of people aged between 18 and 25 who, apart from something they might have had to do in school, have never been within the door of Angrenan, yeah, or the Baller or the Abbey in Ballyshannon, yeah, or any other theatre.
Yeah.
I think for me especially, because I'm coming from more of a musical side, one of the things I have in my head is even when I was applying, the challenge with the theatre is I go to gigs every weekend. I know the venues or the bars or wherever. I'm used to seeing music and just trying to figure out how that would translate into the theatre. And I think that yeah, it's just an interesting challenge, I suppose, is trying to think in terms of the theatre rather than the venues that I'm used to going. And as a person, as a young person that does frequent that, what would bring me into the theatre a little bit. In terms of you and actual, you're more used to being in the theatre, I suppose.
Well, yeah, and I think I definitely am in the minority of people in my age group. I love the theatre. I love Beckett. I love Friel. But I think it's about that challenge of theatres are scary. They're big, huge boxes, concrete boxes that some people feel that they're not making work for them. So why would you ever bother spending €25 on a ticket to go and watch it? So it's about trying to think with this programme. If you build it for the community and build it based somewhere, build it for the people of Donegal, will they then come?
Yeah.
I think they will. I do think if you build community-based theatre that's inclusive of everyone who wants to sit and watch it rather than just like a certain demographic, I think they will come. But we'll see.
But it's important too that what you're effectively saying to those young people is you're saying, don't come to this thing that's been created by some old fuddy-duddy or that's been created by some traditional practitioner. Come to it because it's been created by your peers,
for you,
for you, and to an extent, I mean, you as a representative group, it's created for you and it's created by you to an extent, because the idea being obviously you will have an insight into the minds of 18 to 25 year olds that, I mean, and let's be honest about it, with all the wit in the world, much as I like to think I have really hip and cool musical taste, I haven't got a clue. I mean, I really don't. I can talk about the new bands and I can talk about, I will listen to, you know, bands like the Baboon Club and bands like that and think, I'm being really cool. You know, I am being really cool because I'm listening to a really hip band and I know a young, look at dad over there. You know, and that is the reality of it. So, you know, the fact that this is, and I think this is genuinely exciting. Because, and in fairness, I know Patricia and Niall, and I would know a lot of the people in the grade, and obviously, and I think they are great people, and I think they are people who genuinely will take a step back. Yeah. Now, and I'm sure there's going to be times when they'll be biting their tongues, like, God, lads, what are you doing to me?
Yeah.
I've known that. And if that doesn't happen, you're not doing your job.
Yes, thank you.
I think that is the case. I mean, I think if you're not challenging Patricia, and if you're not challenging Niall and Pete and all the guys, if you're not challenging them, you know, you're not doing your job. And if they're not challenging you, they aren't doing theirs.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's going to be genuinely exciting to see what comes out of this. And look, you've got a year. Well, under a year, but 10 months at this stage.
Yeah.
It's June 24. This is going to be a week of programming in Ungraden. There's going to be theatre, there's going to be music, hopefully there'll be some comedy, and it'll be curated by yourselves and hopefully presented by people of a similar age. And I think we could find some really exciting new talent out there. There are people out there that have comedic talent and acting talent and musical talent, and they would not think of it. Mm. They wouldn't think themselves, I must get involved in this.
Yeah.
So hopefully you can find them. And you can put them on those stages and create something really special. Clodagh MacIver, Ciara Doherty, and Alton Pringle, it's been an absolute pleasure. And by the way, look, I have to say it, if anyone is looking at Alton and thinking, I wonder, the answer is yes. Obviously the answer is yes. I mean, God, you can't deny it. Just take a look at it, for God's sake. Okay, and we will go no further than that. Guys, it's been an absolute pleasure. I really look forward to this. And look, we look forward to talking to you again over the next while. I think there's something really exciting going to happen here.
Thank you very
and
much.
All the best with it.
Perfect, thank you.
So that is Ciara and Clodagh and Alton. It's a minute, just under 2 minutes to 11. Going to take a short break. Back after these.